What I want to do this morning is to give you a single sentence, 15 words that in effect will be the message for us this morning. We'll have the full sentence, we'll have the complete message, if you will, of course, by the end, but we'll consider it in three parts. The first is this. The first part of our single sentence, our message. The God who does not change. We pause here to consider that. It's just part of our sentence. The God who does not change. Think for a moment of all the words you would come up with to describe, to characterize God. That really would be a great exercise for us. In here, in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, maybe a bit out of the ordinary, but imagine working our way around the room and each one has to give their word or their phrase, their thought, what they think of when they think of the nature, when they think of the character of God. Imagine even if we sort of had our main thing, our one thing that we were going to say, but then sort of an established rule, you can't say something that someone else has already said, so we maybe have our few backup things. I'm going to say this, but if somebody takes that, this is the word, this is the phrase, this is the thought that I'm going to share to describe God, how I think when I think of God, how I would describe God, His character, His nature. Imagine us doing that. What a list that would be, right? What a time that would be. What a time of encouragement that would be. As we are reminded, maybe somebody says something we didn't think of or wasn't on our list, and all of a sudden, that's true. God is like that. God does do like that. What a time that would be for us. Never mind, even in here, that would be a great exercise for you to do today, when you're home, this afternoon, tomorrow, all week, every week. I was thinking of it, what a great way to begin our day. I don't know what you do to start your day. Grab the phone and begin to scroll, make your way to the kitchen, turn on the coffee pot. I don't know, it's a little bit old school. I don't even know if it's possible anymore. But remember, sort of back in the day, we would go to the porch and get the newspaper and read the newspaper. I don't even know if people can do that anymore. But just that sense, however you start your day, what if instead of that, we did this, took time, sort of remind ourselves of our God, what He is, how He is, what He does and how He does. Before we even thought of the to-do list, the agenda for the day, we thought first of Him. Think for a moment, all the words you would associate with Him. His love, His holiness, His power, His wisdom. No, it's hard to think with my voice constantly interrupting, but you think of your list. What are your words? He's the Savior, He's the Healer, He's the Comforter. What else? What are you thinking of? He's the King, He's the Sovereign Lord, the Almighty God. There's nothing above Him, there's no one that He has to answer to. He's kind, He's gracious. I quote it to you often, I love the simplicity of it. He's just good. And what He does, just good. Oh, so good. Always so good to us. What a list we would come up with, right? How amazing, how awesome, how marvelous, how glorious is our God, right? I wonder, each of us with our list, as wonderful as it would be, I wonder, how many of us would have considered this? He, our God, is the God who does not change. Full disclosure, it certainly wouldn't have been first on my list. That would sort of be an interesting exercise of itself. A top 10 list of words, phrases, thoughts to describe God. In other words, you have to take everything and you have to figure out the top 10, the top 5. What's going to be number one on your list to describe God? If you have to have a number one, what's it going to be? He, the God who does not change, it's probably, most definitely, not number one on my list. I'm not even sure it would have made the top 10. Probably a lot of other things I would have thought of before thinking of this. But it's interesting because it's this attribute of God that really makes all that we read of God available and applicable to us. You know why we would say that God is loving? Because we read it in Scripture. It's very clearly revealed to us there that He is. For God so loved the world. God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. Scripture is abundantly clear. God is loving. For many of us, that might be number one on our list. The first thing that we think of when we think of God, when we think of a way to describe God, His character and nature, that might be the first thought that we have. He is that. We know that He's that. You know why, though, we can know that God loves us? You know why you can know that God loves you and I can know that God loves me? Because of this. He doesn't change. You know why we can know that God is all powerful? He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. He's the Healer. Because we read of it again and again and again through virtually all the pages of Scripture. We know that He can be all of that for us right here, right now, today, because we also know this. He doesn't change. I was thinking of it related to Scripture and all that we read of God being the healer. God identifies Himself as such in the Old Testament to Moses, to the children of Israel. I'm the God that heals you. Throughout the pages of the New Testament, we see it of the ministry of Jesus. The crowds would bring all that were sick, all the infirmity, the leprosy, all that would plague, even death itself, all that plagued the people of Jesus' day. And we read this more than once. They bring to Him all the sick, and all who touched Him were healed. We know from the pages of Scripture that God is the healer. But really there's a sense, well, that's great for them. I don't know that it means very much to me. Great that God healed the leper. Great that God healed through the Old Testament. Great that God healed through the New Testament. Great that God healed through Jesus again and again and again. But what does that mean for me here at New Life Church in Flushing, Michigan on August 21st, 2022? Well, it might not mean much until with that you consider this, that God doesn't change. He was the healer, great for them. He is the healer, great for you and me. That we can know that today, that we can experience that today. It might not have made it high up on the list of words that we would think of to describe Him. Maybe thinking it lesser than the rest, maybe it didn't even make the list. But even with all the rest, how wonderful to know this. Ours is the God who does not change. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a man that he should. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord and I do not change. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, familiar maybe to all of us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Commentating on James, one writes this. Notice God is called the Father of heavenly lights. This was an ancient Jewish way of referring to God as the Creator. The lights in mind would have been the sun, the moon, and the stars. He, God, is the Father, the Creator of the lights, the celestial bodies. He's the Father of lights, but with Him, there is no variation, there is no shifting shadow. He is the one who created all the stellar bodies. He created all of them, but He's not like any of them. They vary, they change, they dim, they brighten, they bring light, they cast shadow. They are here in the daytime, gone at night, here at night, gone in the daytime. Their benefit to us comes and goes. God isn't like that. God's brilliant, bright light of glory and light of goodness and light of grace is no varying thing. It doesn't pass from one condition to another. It doesn't have shadows. It never goes dark. There are no days when He stops giving spiritual gifts. There are no days when He stops giving spiritual light. The flow of good things from God never varies, never stops. In the words of the hymn, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." The streams of mercy never cease. Nothing can eclipse God's goodness. Nothing can stop His benevolence. Nothing can interrupt the flow of His heavenly light. He is the God who does not change. His power to help, His power to save, His power to deliver, His power to heal, just as it was through the pages of Scripture, it's available for you and for me today. His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His goodness, His favor, His blessing. Oh, how I love to consider God's favor, God's blessing on Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God's blessing and God's favor on Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel, so that they plunder Egypt without even ever once lifting a sword. God's favor, God's blessing on David, so that we read about him wherever he goes, whatever he does, he has success because the hand of God is upon him. And to know that same favor and that same blessing can rest on you and me today. All of it, all that he is, all that he does, it's available to us because he is the God who does not change. Next, the next part of our sentence, our message: the God who does not change, changes us. We pause again. One says this: Almighty God never becomes more, never becomes less, never becomes different than He is. He does not change. The author then from that makes this conclusion. That's why He, the God who never becomes more or less or different than He is, who never changes, that's why He can change us and make us more and less and different than we are. He concludes, Only the unchanging one can change us. From a personal perspective, it would seem to me that in Christianity today, there is a concentrated focus on God's love for us. To be abundantly clear this morning, this is not necessarily a bad thing. Listen, it's true. Let me say it this morning. You are loved. You are God's workmanship. You are the apple of God's eye. You've given your life to Jesus. You are God's son. You're God's daughter. Of course you're loved. And listen, it's really even more than that. You are loved as is. One says it this way, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Consider that for a moment. Wow, how amazing, how revolutionary that thought. I believe it's true. I believe it because of this. He's God, and it's His love. It's then a perfect love, a complete love. It can't be better. It can't be more than it is. God can only, always and only love perfectly and completely because He is God, and in fact, He is love. It's the same for His power. God's power is perfect and complete. He is all powerful. His power can't be more or less. His power doesn't diminish. His power doesn't need to be replenished. As in, someone comes to the altar and receives a miracle from the Lord, and the response within us, oh no, I guess now I'll have to wait because God has expended all of His energy on them. I'll have to come back and see God tomorrow. He'll get a good night's rest tonight, and tomorrow He'll have all His energy back and all His strength back, and surely then He can take care of my need. How ridiculous the thought. His power doesn't diminish. His power doesn't need to be replenished. It's the same for His holiness. God can't be more holy than He is because He's perfectly and completely holy. It's the same for His righteousness, for His goodness. Listen, God is good, perfectly and completely good. There's no good that is gooder than Him and His good. I wonder if some of us need to be reminded of that this morning. Our tendency is to fight against God's good because, full disclosure, we think our good is gooder than His good. The Lord closes that door, but we stand there forever trying to bang it down. No, God, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. This is good. And God says, no, that's not good. This is good. This is my good. No, God, my good is gooder than your good. I want this, not that. And we fight against Him. We fight against His plan. We fight against what He wants to do. Listen, if you're walking in a love relationship with God, if you're walking according to His purposes, you got to hear me this morning. I don't mean to sound rude or mean. It doesn't matter what you understand or don't understand. He's working His good in your life, and His good is better than any other good that you could ever experience. Don't like it, don't understand it, can't make sense of it. Let's just be honest this morning, none of us can. Most of the time, none of us can. But we rest in this, His good is gooder. Listen, walk in His good. Can I speak to some of you this morning? Stop fighting against God's good. Stop fighting to get and to have your way and your good. Rest in His goodness. Trust in His goodness. that it's the best. On and on the list would go. In all that God is and all that God does, it's perfect. It's complete. God loves you perfectly, completely. He can't love you better than he already does. He can't love you more than he already does. You are loved. God loves you. He does. Maybe when I get better, when I get this taken care of. No, God loves you right now. You know, when I get the calendar cleared up, and then I can come to church more, and I can do more, and I can help more, and I can serve more. When I get rid of the debt, I can give more in the offering. God will love me then. God will love me more then. No, that's not true. There's this sin. I say things I shouldn't say. I do things I shouldn't do. I'll get that taken care of, and then God will love me. No, you're wrong on all accounts. You're not listening to him. You're not listening to the voice of his spirit. You're not knowing his word. If you're questioning his love for you, if you're thinking he doesn't love you, if you're believing he can't love you, if you're figuring you have to do something, you have to fix something so that he can love you, you're wrong. And listen, this is true. If you don't fix that, if you don't stop being wrong, if you don't stop thinking you have to do, and do some more to get his love, to earn his love, if you don't start knowing today, if you don't start believing today that he loves you right now, perfectly, completely, if you don't, listen, your relationship with him will never be what it otherwise could be. And ultimately, more importantly, it'll never be what God would desire it to be. It's true. God loves you. Good for us to consider that. The problem, however, I think in Christianity today, concentrated on his love for us, we tend to miss this. Included in and with his love for you, for me, is his desire to change us. We tend to think the two thoughts are in opposition to each other. We tend to think that it has to be one or the other. It's this: God loves me as is, nothing I can do to make him love me more, nothing I can do to make him love me less. God loves me perfectly, completely as I am. So then he has no desire to change me, even I have no desire, I have no need to change me or anything about me. It's that, only that, or it's this: God wants to change me. God needs to change me. I need to change because God doesn't love me. God can't love me the way that I am now. Listen, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's not one or the other. Both can be true. Both are true. Does God love you right now perfectly and completely? For sure he does. Does God want to change you? Yes. For sure he does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. From glory to glory is how we most recognize this verse. He is making us more like him, taking us from glory to greater glory to greater glory still. The message says it this way: our lives are becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. That's the change. And that change, it comes from the Lord who loves you and who is the Spirit. In Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. The Living Bible says it this way: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. The message says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Listen, God loves you. Scripture is clear. And God wants to change you. Scripture is clear. One says it this way. God loves you just as you are, but loves you too much to leave you that way. He's the God who loves you. He's the God who does not change. But He is as well the God who changes us to make us more than we are. Listen, let God change you so that you might have more wisdom. More graciousness in your talk, in your response to people, your interaction with people. Let Him change you so that there's more grace, more love, more joy, more peace and patience. You know the list. Let Him change you. Ask Him to change you. So that you are more than you are, so that in you there's more the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, more the gentleness, more the self-control. In Colossians chapter 3, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's the change that He would desire to work in us today. More compassion, more humility, more bearing one another, accepting one another, enduring one another, more forgiveness, more dependence on Him, more His rule and His reign in and over our lives, more holiness, more living in righteousness, being and doing good. The God who does not change changes us. Let Him change you. Let Him make you more. Let Him make you less. Psalm 16 and verse 5, the Lord detests the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Let Him change you. Let Him make you less proud. According to Proverbs 6, the Lord hates a lying tongue, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Let Him change you so that there's less of that in you. Less bitterness, less envy, less anger, less animosity, less hostility, less brokenness in relationship. One writes this, broken relationships don't reflect the Lord's glory. How so simple and yet so powerfully true that would be. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, children of God, family of God. Let's let Him change us so that there's less the brokenness, less the poor reflection of His glory. The rough edges. One writes this, perhaps you have a small mirror in your purse, full-length mirror at home. Both reflect the light. It's like the home and the church. A godly home should be a miniature version of the church, and the church a larger version of a godly family. In either case, a crack in the mirror mars the image. From that, the author concludes with this question. Is there a rough edge to your personality that needs smoothing before it leaves a scratch in the mirror of your home, the mirror of your church, Easy to identify those in the lives of others, right? Wow, they've got some rough edges. But wouldn't all of us have to recognize all of us, every single one, some rough edges that need smoothing? I know you know theirs, but this morning the question for you, are you willing to let him work his desire change in you and on you so that your rough edges are less and less, less selfish, less worried, less fearful, less greedy, less stingy, less lazy, less undisciplined, maybe especially in the spiritual disciplines? The God who does not change changes us. Let him change you. Let him make you more. Let him make you less. And let him make you different. We read it a moment ago, once more, this time with the rest. God loves you just as you are, but loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. That's the different than we are. That's the real change. Transformed into his likeness, more and more like him and less like this world. According to the words of John the Baptist, he must become greater. I must become less. That's the difference. Less and less of me and more of him. In a sense, it's the real message this morning. It's the ultimate, the all-important invitation. Let him, the one who does not change, the one who never becomes more, less, or different than he is, let him change you. Let him make you more than you are. Let him make you less than you are. Let him make you different than you are. Finally, we finish our sentence, our message this morning. The God who does not change changes us, so that we can change our world. One writes this: the story is told that there was once a man who walked his dog every Saturday morning around a lake near his house. Week after week, he saw the elderly woman sitting at the edge of the water with a small metal cage next to her. The man's curiosity finally got the best of him, and he approached the woman one day. He noticed that the cage was actually a small trap, and she had three small turtles in it. In her lap, there was a fourth turtle that she was carefully wiping down with a sponge. The man greeted her and said, "If you don't mind me asking, what do you do with these turtles every week?" She smiled and explained to him that she was cleaning their shells because any algae or scum that builds up on a turtle's shell reduces its ability to absorb heat, slows down their swimming. It can also corrode their shell and weaken it over time. The man was impressed as the woman continued, "I do this every Saturday morning to help the turtles." "But don't most turtles live their entire lives with algae on their shells?" the man asked. "You're kind to do this, but are you really making a difference? If most turtles, really all the turtles except the ones in this lake, don't have people around to clean their shells?" The woman laughed as she looked down at the small turtle on her lap. "Young man, if this little turtle could talk, he would say, 'I'm making all the difference in the world.'" The world-renowned philosopher Dr. Seuss once said, "To the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you may be the world." Do you understand? The change that the unchanging one works in you, it's not just to make you more. It's not just to make you less, not just to make you different than you are. It's so that you, in turn, might go now and change your world. We read it just a moment ago from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. One comments on the passage. Paul describes at least 8 different articles of spiritual clothing that the Christian should put on. In a world where many people strive to be fashion forward, imagine the impact of a person dressed in Paul's 8 spiritual qualities. Imagine a Christian walking from this place clothed in humility, kindness, compassion, gentleness, patience. Imagine that. Imagine the impact of that. The author concludes with the question, which would change the world more, being dressed in the latest fashions or being dressed in the likeness of Christ? Listen, you go out there having clothed yourself with Him, having let Him made you more, made you less, made you different than you are here in this place. You go now out there and you will change your world. One writes, if our kids always behave, and our boss is always pleased, and our home is always orderly, and our bodies always feel good, and we're patient and kind and thoughtful and happy and loving, others shrug because they're capable of being that way too. On the other hand, if we have a splitting headache, the kids are screaming, the phone is ringing, the supper's burning, and yet we are still patient, kind, thoughtful, happy, and loving, the world sits up and takes notice. The world knows that kind of behavior is not natural, it's supernatural. And others see Jesus revealed in us. And when that happens, when people see Jesus, not Denny, there's the potential for Denny's world to be changed, their world to be changed. Denny can't change anything, but Jesus can change their world. Do you understand the change that He works in us? Google tells us there are 2.38 billion Christians in the world. Imagine all 2.38 billion of us leaving our Sunday morning gathering and going out into the world. More wisdom, more grace, more love, more joy, more peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. More compassion, more humility, more bearing one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another, more forgiveness, more holiness, more righteousness, even more good, being more good, doing more good. Imagine all 2.38 billion of us leaving our Sunday morning gathering and going out into the world less proud, less deceit, less evil, less dissension, less bitterness, less envy, less anger, less animosity, less hostility, less divisiveness, less brokenness, less rough edges, less selfishness, less worry, less fear, less lazy, less undisciplined. Imagine all 2.38 billion of us leaving our Sunday morning gathering and going out into the world looking just like Jesus. Our lives more and more Him and less us. Don't you know? The world, our world, would be radically changed. Listen to me. The God who does not change, oh, let Him change you so you can go and change your world. Father, I pray this morning that you would take this single sentence, this one thought, this message, and implant it in the heart of your people. Father, speak to us this morning. Speak to us this morning. This word. The encouragement, the comfort, the blessing that it would bring, the challenge that it would bring to us, the change that it would bring to us. In Jesus' name. I pray this morning that you find rest, comfort, strength, and encouragement for your heart. God doesn't change. What you read in the pages of Scripture, He is that God for you today. I pray every single one of us in this room, without reservation, without restraint, without limit, we invite the unchanging one to change us. New life, let us let Him make us more than we are. Let's let Him make us less than we are. Let's let Him make us be just like Jesus. And new life, oh, I pray it. Let's go and change our world. I want to encourage you. Find the one that you can be and make a difference for this week. Be looking for the one. You might run into him in the grocery store, at the gas station, out taking a walk, maybe in the foyer before you leave today. Find the one that you can make a difference, be a difference for them. I pray that each of us would. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you extend your hands to receive it this morning? Oh, you receive the blessing of the Lord today. God's desire is to bless His people. That's true according to Scripture. And because He doesn't change, He's the God who desires to bless you today. So I declare it over your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. Oh, just like He did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and Aaron, the children of Israel, David, may He show you His favor. May His favor rest upon you this week. And may the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.